So why do we do child dedications? Well, it's biblical. We can see in the Bible that people often dedicated their homes, buildings, and even their children to God. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, it says that the people dedicated their homes to God. In Ezra chapter 6, it says the temple of God was then dedicated with great joy by the people of Israel. And then in Luke chapter 2, we see that Jesus' parents, Joseph and Mary, took him to Jerusalem to the temple to present him to the Lord. So dedication to the Lord, I believe, is a way of honoring him and saying thank you for what we have, because what we have is from you, God. Whether it's this home, this building, this child. When we dedicate or present something to God, we are honoring him and we are thanking him for what we are now stewards of. And we will see here in a little bit that people often brought their children to Jesus to receive a blessing. And from reading the Gospels, it appears to me that Jesus sees children as the most important of all his creation. Now, that's not to say that us adults are not that important, but if we're being honest with ourselves, I think we can all agree that life's experiences shape who we become as we get older. Oftentimes, we become a little jaded, maybe a little cynical, maybe a little guarded, maybe a little, I don't want to join a life group because I did that once before. And so the experiences that we have in life as we get older, they shape who we are. And I believe it's the presence of the Holy Spirit that helps us get past that and become who we were created to be in Jesus. But as children, there is that innocent trust that what we are being told, we believe in, we trust as children. Whether it's good or bad, a child will believe what an adult tells them because they don't know any other way. And that innocent trust is something that Jesus spoke very highly of, because it's special. So we're going to read a passage in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. So one day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. I love this story. There's a lot in here. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. Now, before we unpack a little bit of what's happening here, as you read Mark chapter 10, you will see before this story, the religious leaders come to Jesus and they try to trick him in a question about divorce. And then after this story, a rich man comes to Jesus and says, "What do I need to do to get into heaven?" So my question is, why the placement of this story? And so if I'm wondering about, maybe did this happen in succession? Did Mark just say, I really want to tell this, I'm going to stick it right here. I don't know. But I'm wondering, Jesus had a pretty intense conversation with the religious leaders about divorce. They wanted to trick him, okay? And so here's Jesus, the Son of God. Maybe, this is just, I'm just thinking out loud here, church. He's like, "You know, Dad, Father, these are the people who have been entrusted by you to teach your ways. And here they are trying to trick me in a question with something they already know the answer about. So, like, was he like, just, was he sitting off in a corner? Did he tell the disciples, just give me a second? Did the disciples say to themselves, we've seen this look before? He's not happy. He's a little frustrated. You know, I don't know. But all of a sudden, after that question, it says, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus. And now the disciples say, hey, no. You know, there's a lot of squabbling going on. There's kids running around. There's crying. There's laughing. He's busy right now. And then Jesus scolds them. It says he was angry at them for this. So I have to believe that the disciples had good intentions. And I don't know what was really happening here, but for some reason, the disciples thought the children were going to be a hindrance in Jesus' presence at that time. And maybe, I was thinking about this morning too, maybe the sound of those children brought joy to Jesus' ears. Maybe he was deep in thought. Maybe he was a little upset. Maybe he was a little angry at the religious leaders. And the sound of children was music to his ears. It's what he needed. And the disciples were saying, this isn't a good time. So he scolds them. The Bible says, at least in the New Living Translation, which I read from, he was angry at his disciples. He openly rebuked them in front of everybody so that the parents and everybody that could hear him would get an idea of how important children were to Jesus. And Jesus used this as a teachable moment to share about the kingdom of God. I tell you the truth. Anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. That's heavy, I think. Children are innocent. They believe and they trust in the things that are being said to them. We have to have this same kind of innocent, childlike trust that what Jesus says is the truth. I think we can wrestle things out with him. I think we can say, Jesus, I'm struggling with this. But I think in the end, we have to have that, I may not understand this, Jesus, but I trust that you know what's best for me. No matter how much life's experiences has hindered our trust in other people and life itself. But there's one more passage that I want to talk about when it comes to the importance of children and the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus starts this teaching out about the importance of children, their innocence, and keeping them safe. And then he talks about the temptations in life that we deal with. And so I did have the opportunity to be a children's pastor here for a while. And this passage here was one that I held dearly as people brought their children into the church and entrusted me to teach them spiritual truths. So here's in Matthew chapter 18. What Jesus had to say. Verses 1 through 5, and then we'll skip down to verse 10. About that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. Then he said, "I tell you the truth. Unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven." He says it again. You know, that other story is also in Matthew and Luke. So this isn't a part of that story. And also just as a side note too, let me veer off here for a second. The reason that the people were bringing their children to Jesus, you know, he had been traveling all around, preaching and teaching on the kingdom of God, healing people, setting people free from demonic oppression. And I believe that the people understood that there was something special happening with Jesus. And they wanted their children to be a part of it. He wasn't just this magic man that appeared on the scene and gave a feel-good message. He was speaking to their hearts. He was speaking to their spirits. And so now he's saying this again. I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. This also could be one of those things where we say, oh, that's, come on, really? Well, if Jesus said it, I am believing it. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. But if you cause one of these little ones who trusts in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. I could maybe almost hear a pin drop when he's speaking this. Then he goes on and he talks about sin and temptations and trials. And then he says this in verse 10. Beware that you don't look down on any of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels are always in the presence of my heavenly Father. That's a pretty heavy teaching. I'm going to maybe say that is a stern warning from Jesus as to how we treat children. Children are special. Children are not to be looked down upon. Children are not to be belittled, abused, thrown away. They're special. They are so special that Jesus said, their angels are always in the presence of God. When I see parents dedicating their children to God like this morning, I have to believe that there are angels assigned to each child going, yeah, we are with you in this. Really? The Holy Spirit is here. God is here. You know, if you're a young person and you've been mistreated in life, this passage tells us that you are not alone, that you are highly looked after by your Creator, your Father in heaven. And it often begs to ask that question, why do bad things happen? Why did God let this happen? Well, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world of sin. Heaven has not been established just yet, where perfection and harmony and everything will be established. But I'm going to tell you something. God judges at the time when He decides to judge. And I would not want to be somebody who has an angel assigned to a child that I did something bad to. I wouldn't want to come up against an angel of heaven that was assigned to a child that I did something to. Because Jesus said, their angels are always in the presence of my Father. Because of their innocence, children should be regarded as the most cared for. They are special. They are like an olive branch. They bring peace. They bring harmony. They also bring a lot of frustrations to mom and dad, but it's a good frustration. They'll come out of that. But it is this same innocent outlook and trust that gets us into the kingdom of God, into the presence of God here on earth, and into eternal rest in heaven with God. That same innocent trust is what it takes. So, yes, child dedications, getting dedicated to the Lord, it's an important tradition. It's something that was done from the beginning of the Bible times, and Jesus himself was dedicated in the temple. And it is also a reminder to us that children are the most blessed when they are in the care of Jesus. So I'll kind of wrap it up with this. As parents, we all want the best for our children. We all want to see our children succeed. We have hopes for them to be well taken care of, to succeed in life. Sometimes we have to put our trust in daycare, our trust in teachers, our trust in Sunday school, our trust in relatives. But we always have that hope that they are well taken care of and they will succeed in life. So, what is the best we can offer our children? How can they be well taken care of and succeed in life? I believe the answer to that is found in Mark chapter 10. Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. Jesus blessed the children. I believe that's it right there. The very best our children can receive is a touch from God. That's the best they can have. The very best a parent can do for their child is to direct them in the ways of Jesus. Point them towards Jesus. Influence them in the ways of God. Be that example for them. When a child sees mom and dad walking the walk and talking the talk in the ways of God, they will follow that. They might go astray, but I promise you they'll come back. There's no greater thing we can do for our children than influence them and direct them towards Jesus. Because this is what gives us the hope and the security that they are protected and well taken care of in life. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you. Man, I thank you for children, God. I thank you for each of those families up here this morning, God. And I just want to pray a special blessing over them, Lord God. I sense right now that if Jesus could look each one of you in the eyes, parents that were up here this morning, he would say, you're doing it right. You're doing it right. Don't worry about messing up. You're doing it right. When you do the best you can, you're doing it. And I just want to invite your presence, Lord God, into this sanctuary this morning. Maybe there's something in the message that jumped out to us. Maybe there's something that sank into our hearts. Maybe there was some hope that we heard that, oh, I really needed to know that God has my best interest in mind as a young person, even as an adult, as a parent. And I want to bless that this morning in Jesus' name. And I want to encourage you that as we move into a time of worship, I believe that is the time when the heavens open up and the deposits of the Holy Spirit can fall into our hearts. I believe that's a time where you can ask and receive. And I'm going to pray for that right now in Jesus' name. Amen.